Gospel according to Mark. At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than two to be thrown into Gehenna, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." And so the Gospel of the Lord. Last Sunday, as I was conducting Mass, I happened to notice a woman sit bolt upright, stand up with absolute confidence and lead the church. Our church is quite small, so you just can't, no matter how you try, you can't anoint it. She stood up with such authority and energy that I was almost sure she was going to return and what was happening. It's always disruptive and upsetting sometimes to the celebrant when someone leaves during a critical part of the ceremony. You try not to notice because people have their reasons, a slight illness, juggling a soggy baby, or some other perfectly valid reason. Sure enough, a few seconds later, the lady in question returned with absolute authority again and sat down. The reason she left the church in the first place was an answer to a higher authority, obviously. She had to answer her cell phone. She was engaging in what has become a most important, unquestionable reality, an electronic realm that knows and measures her preferences far more accurately than any preacher could. As I reflect on the incident now, I'm just half hoping it was a robocall from purgatory. But we'll see. We'll see. I have to be corrected in such things. Today's gospel is filled with a dizzying amount of information in the context of teaching the disciples. The view of faith and goodness is expanded and becomes more realistic to include outsiders who are people of goodwill. At the same time, the most severe warnings are given against crimes against children or against what were probably sexual sins. We have to learn not to condemn those who don't follow us too closely. On the other hand, we have to be real about the damage that is done in life. The commentary that I read said that certain key words suggest that a good part of the passage was from memorized passages from the past that found their way in residual form into Mark's gospel. Originally, these words referred to specific sexual sins, but by the time of Jesus, they referred only to kind of general failure in discipleship. Yet, the description of the fire of Gehenna at the end of the passage leaves no doubt about the seriousness of these teachings. The stranger exorcist, the person who gives us water in our need, stand on one side with the blessed, while in contrast, those who exploit others, live lives of excess, and even would go so far as to exploit children, stand in marked contrast, and they're on the other side. What are we to make of it all? To me, this gospel points to the necessity of being flexible and having the courage to make honest judgments about our behavior and our present culture. We need to seek and cultivate a form of behavior that's truly life-giving. This poses a question for my parishioner who strode out of the church with such confidence to attend to a quickie phone call. This gospel raises the issue of who we will allow to influence our judgment and behavior and how we respond to the goodness of people and the varieties of experience that we come across each day. What's the criteria we use in making practical everyday choices about what's really good? As I recount these admonitions and warnings, I must confess that what a hateful thing it is to have yourself measured by moral systems and strictures. Even when you are able to say, well, I didn't do that, didn't break any of the rules, who are you really? Now, we need to be defined by love. And in the real world, I need to grasp the expansive part of the gospel where even the total stranger may offer a cup of water and make the best of it. Or someone may use the name of Christ. Or even if it's only as a talisman or a magic formula, as the commentators suggest. In our modern culture, with so many people either being rejected by the harshness of religious rules, or even never having really experienced a religious call that speaks to the deepest longing of their hearts, we need to discover again the richness of the human spirit and together realize our calling to share the divine life. Legalistic people may glory in the sins they have not committed, may measure their own excellence by pointing to the moral failures of society, but they still remain empty and without love. All through this summer, I've been attending an ecumenical study group that is reading together Pope Francis' recent ecumenical letter, Laudato Si. This has been a wonderful discovery in the way in which religious people from diverse backgrounds, this has been the most diverse background I've ever experienced, and even some agnostic people and people of goodwill are there. They've been drawn together by the words of Pope Francis. He touches the heart of our needs as people on a journey to God. At the first meeting, people asked the question, what's an encyclical letter? Why, you know, this seems as if it's addressed directly to me. What a nice touch Pope Francis has. He's certainly aware of the dangers that exist if we fail to be more attentive to the systematic destruction of the environment and a version of capitalism that not only speeds up the exhaustion of the world's resources and creates a small elite of upper class and effectively diminishes the vast majority of the poor of the earth, encouraging them to become mindless consumers. Perhaps my friend on the phone is a good symbol for what we need to really avoid. At the first, there rises up from the ordinary person a desire to say no to all this. I will not be misled. I will not be made a fool of. And then Francis starts to remind us of all that is finest in the great spiritual traditions. And focusing on St. Francis, his namesake, he again and again presents the face of a Catholic Christianity that has resonance with many of the world's great religious philosophies and needs of people at this time. I've been stunned at how particular Francis can be in calling us to be servants of life, to step up to those challenges of our time. And it certainly challenges my preaching and speaking to people. We have to choose a decent future together. We have to choose life. As Francis visits the United States and Cuba during these last days, there are many voices from the most surprising and diverse backgrounds calling out a generous yes to Francis' summons to respect not only the earth, but the great miracle of life itself, that we are all brothers and sisters and have a certain beauty that must be respected. We need to cast aside the comfortable and unimaginative divisions, and together heed the gospel insight. Do not prevent him. There's no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. We Catholics cannot possibly achieve the needed ecological revolution all by ourselves. We need to unite with people of goodwill everywhere. We pray that during these extraordinary days, we may continue to discover the full spiritual beauty of our brothers and sisters who share the great but uncertain journey into life to which God has called us, and together we can be faithful to that call and restore the beauty and wonder with which God has blessed us and sustains us in life at every single moment. May the Lord bless you in this wonderful task we embark upon together.